Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, crazy week, huh? I'm tired of saying that. Seems like I said it most of last year. And if I could just go on record telling you something just briefly, I'm not okay with chaos. I'm not okay with our country looking like Honduras. So you got to know that. So what are we going to do? We're going to be faithful. And we're going to keep on keeping on. And today, I wrestled and wrestled with what I needed to say because, you know, as a member of Christian Ministries Church, we started a vision on Sunday, and I never have seen our vision be more applicable to what our world is in need of than this year. We talked about last week our vision being essential. That's the vision, and I explained that a lot last week. And if you're a member of CMC, today's your first day of joining us, and you want to know what CMC is all about and what we're doing, it's very important that you go back and listen to our podcast from Sunday. And I'm not going to re-preach that today. But every week, we have more and more information coming to us from different media sources. And I have to tell you that for the first time this week, I was a little overloaded. My phone has been buzzing, ringing, and it's another, here's what's happening. And there's one that came in last night that I felt was very credible that I needed to share with the church this morning. And the word was that President Trump, right now, he is our president right now. And that he is right now having some difficulties based on the stress of the situation. And that he has had several attacks or several claims of threat on his life and his family. And so before I go a step further, we're going to pray for our president. Father, today, I thank you for protection for President Trump. Lord, today, your people, we come together and we recognize that your word is true and it's alive and that there's power in prayer. And Lord, there's power in agreement. And today we come into agreement that he is protected and that he is in health. And Father, we today, we're going to stand in the gap. We're going to do our part as your people to do what we can to tend the garden, to tend this earth as you've given dominion and authority. And Lord, that was won back by Jesus. We claim the blood of Jesus over the circumstances. And Father, today we're believing you for the outcome. We're believing you for the outcome, and we will be your light in this world in Jesus' name. Amen. I have been asked one question a lot over the last week and actually for the last 10 months, but it seemed like it was asked a lot this week, and I just kept finding myself going, how do I answer this? And here was my question. Pastor, what do you think? Have you been asked that question in your circle? What do you think? Alvin and I was one of the first things we started talking about. What do you think? What do you think? And then I kind of hear him and he hears me and we slowly figure out if we think the same thing. I don't know if that's a deal with anybody else, but I'm seeing a lot of nodding of heads. So obviously I'm speaking in agreement with what we're all dealing with. And I'm just telling you, I've heard every story you can imagine this week of what's going on. And who's going to really be in office on the 20th? And you say, well, Pastor, haven't you watched the news? And I would say, what news? See, it all depends on what you're listening to, who you're listening to, and where your information's coming from. And so here's been my answer. Because as I look at what's going on, I feel like as we're talking about the United States of America, we're not talking about the same country that I've known. I'm blown away by it. And there's a part of me that wants to cry. A part of me that wants to yell, freedom! A part of me that wants to get all my guns out, let's start distributing and find all the ammo we can get. I mean, here's what I can tell you. What are we going to do, and what do you think's going on? Here's what I think. I believe that this country needs God-loving, God-sharing, God-honoring men and women more than ever. And I don't know what story to listen to except for the Word. And right now, if you're being inundated with 100 different stories, I want to encourage you to get in your Word. We, church, are essential to what's going on. We're essential. Essential means we're absolutely necessary. There's no option or choice right now for God's people. We're essential. We're absolutely necessary. We are indispensable right now. We are fundamental, which means we are foundational. The reason we're indispensable is because we cannot be done away with. And we are the basic need for what's going on. We're a necessity before anything else here in the United States of America. Now, that's what essential means. And what we've got is we've got power-hungry leaders trying to decide who and who is not essential. And you're finding that you're going to hear more and more of this. They've taken God out of everything they can. They are trying to change the definition of what is and what is not essential. When the creator, the planner, the designer of this whole world is taken out of our conscience, the consequence is the purpose for existence is taken away. And you cannot lose your purpose. Regardless of what you're feeding yourself through news media all week. See, what is essential becomes impossible to define when they take out the meaning of essential. Nobody's telling me what is essential and what is not except for the Word of God. That's where I bow. Right now, God's people need to be equipped with some understanding of what is essential, and we know that we as God's people are essential. So if we are what keeps what we have experienced for several years, the same experience, then we've got to step up. If it steps back, we have to step up so we can regain what's trying to be taken. What I'm not going to do is get up here and say, there's no hope. There's more hope than we've ever had because Christians are waking up. I love what Alvin said when he woke up the morning that the presidential election was decided on the last one, and he got the paper, and President Trump, he saw in Honduras, was elected, and that it had went his way. He went, wow, and what I love his thought was the Christians must have voted and woke up. Here's what I can tell you. The Christians may have voted this time, but we better wake up now. What's going on? What's going on? What I can tell you is this year you're going to know, and it's in every Sunday. I don't know if you've heard anything of blackout. I'm not here to sit here and talk about conspiracy theories. What do we do if we black out? Come to church. Come to church. You know where you can get equipped. Ephesians 4:12 says what we are to be doing here. We're equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, I don't know what to do. We'll be here Wednesday night. How many of you will be? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen this week. Well, I'd make every point that you can in your week to be here Wednesday night. We're in a time where we might have to start having church nightly. I don't know, but I'm ready for whatever happens because we're going to provide hope. That's right. We're going to provide hope through what Christ has already done. I ended last week. God's first words to his creation was, be fruitful. Do you realize that your command to be fruitful wasn't based on who's in control of the government of where you live? Now, that doesn't mean that you don't do stuff to make an impact in the area that you live. But that's not a condition that has to be met for you to be fruitful. Knowing the enemy wants to take away your freedom, the best thing that he can do is to get you under his control, and he wants to stop you from your created purpose. He wants to stop you from being essential. And you are essential. This year, if you're going to be essential, you got to know that first as a Christian, what does it mean to be fruitful and how do you get fruit? Now, I'm going to go a direction with this message that some of you are going to go in your mind. You're going to have question marks coming up. You're going to have light bulbs that come up. What in the world is he talking about this morning? How can you go from what he just set up to this point? God created human beings to be fruitful and multiply. Now, what does that mean? I'm talking about this a little bit at the ministry's retreat this weekend. So I'm not going to get into it a lot today because I think it's something that you need to understand the leadership principle, and I don't have time to go into all the multiplication. But a lot of people think that just means having kids, and yes, it does. Multiply what you can multiply. But multiplication is taking what's there, and every time there's one more, it's an example of the doubling effect. Now, I'm probably not explaining this right, and I'm not even going to get, I'll explain it better this weekend. Here's what you've got to know. Are we multiplying Christianity? Are we multiplying? With the message that's going out from this pulpit, not just me, but everyone that's speaking from here, in our classrooms, next Sunday, if we were multiplying correctly, we shouldn't be able to have enough seats for everybody to fit in here. If you're spreading enough information about what media source to be listening to, and we need that, by the way, are you spreading just enough information to get them correct news from the Word on how to impact their life? See, God created humans to be fruitful and multiply, and you know what? The Israelites took him serious. Before they left Egypt, they were 2 million people strong. And the reason why, and I've been teaching this in Bible class, and I just cannot get it out of my head, the reason why the Egyptians wanted to put the Israelites into slavery is because they were getting more and more, and they were more powerful and more powerful. Can you imagine that same concept right now in Christianity in the United States of America? What if we got to where the Israelites were? Now, I'm looking for a Moses to say, "Let my people go." But before they could live in a nation and enjoy the fruit of their power and their blessing that God had promised on them, they had to have some rule of law. So God used Moses, and he went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days. You know the story. And God wrote the Ten Commandments, stone, gave them to Moses. He comes back down, and Moses gave them to the nation and said, "Here you go. Here are 10, let me add a word, essential commandments. These are not something you can do without." And he didn't list them in an order of importance, but they are all categorized. The first 5 commandments reflect our obligations to God, and the last 5 reflect our obligations to each other. God and people are the 2 things that are addressed in the commandments. Now, let me just tell you, the 6th commandment, all of us see as essential. Thou shalt not murder. Does anybody here, you wouldn't raise your hand in a crowd like this, I'm sure, because you have security all over you. Does anybody not believe in that commandment? I'm glad we have it. We just prayed for our president because there are threats on his life for someone to come and do something that the commandments say are not to be done. The 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal. How important do you think that one is? If you have anything, you're probably glad to say, "I'm glad that no one has stolen that from me." We cannot have people going around murdering people, and we cannot have people going around stealing people's stuff. The majority of people actually see the commandments as very important, regardless of how many people have tried to take them out of our communities, at least the listing of them on walls. However, I have been very amazed at how people have not seen the 4th commandment as very important in their life. And here's where you might go, "Is this what we're talking about today?" And I will say yes, and if you'll please stay with me, you'll understand why. The 4th commandment says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." Pastor, you going to talk about that? Yep. If Christians could see how important the fourth commandment is to not only themselves, but also to their nation, we're only going to look at that one commandment today. Now, there are not only 10 commandments, there are over 600. But we're on one that's in the top 10 of God's list that he sent down for a nation to be able to operate by. And the reason I'm not talking about thou shalt not steal, because that's not an issue with God's people. And if God's people are going to receive the blessing that God said is theirs, they need to go by the instructions he said will get you the blessing. And so before the commandments were even given, God started talking about this. He started talking about it, and he continually voiced his concern here. Exodus 16, verse 23. Before the 10 commandments were even given, he told him, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath. A day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. So they put aside until morning some, just as Moses had commanded. And in the morning, the leftover food, which if you'll remember at that time was manna, was wholesome and good and didn't have maggots or worms or any odor. See, they'd done that on other days, and they had set it aside, and it had maggots and odor the next day, but God protected it for the day that it was in need. Moses said, eat this food today, for today is a Sabbath day dedicated to the Lord. There will be no food on the ground today. Provision from the Lord is given on other days, but not given on the Sabbath. You may gather food for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will be no food on the ground that day. Verse 27 says, some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. The Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That's why he gives you a two-day supply on the sixth, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must each stay in your place. Don't go out and pick up food on the seventh day. So the people did not gather any food on the seventh day. Church, why did God do this? Obviously, the reason he did it is because he just didn't want us to have any fun. No, it's the opposite. He did it so that he would allow us to experience the joy of what he had given us. And I wonder why we're not experiencing the joy of what God has given us. That's what I've been asking myself this week. Why is the United States of America not enjoying what God has blessed us with? And I can tell you the fourth commandment. Because that's the one that the church continually violates. And it just occurred to me this week, if we can get this one fixed, we might see a turnaround in our nation. See, this is a commandment. I want to know, just so you don't send me letters or my phone rings off the hook this week, that I agree this has nothing to do with and says nothing about you going to church. Okay, I get that. Well, I thought it did. I believe we should go to church, and that church is very important, and it's good to go on your Sabbath. And I'll get to why here just a little bit. I'm not going to get into that just a second. But today, Sunday, is most people's here Sabbath. That's the day you have chosen to honor a day of rest. Exodus 20, verse 8. Let's read where the commandments were given and Moses was sharing. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What's mean when it says keeping it holy? It means set apart. So you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Take a minute and look at the fourth commandment here. It is absolutely essential for the blessings of God. God spent more time in Scripture talking about this commandment than all of the others, because he knew that we, his people, would have trouble with it. We've been talking about this in staff. You better not miss the Sabbath. You better not miss your day of rest. All of the commandments are essential, But I'm starting with the one that is being violated continually. And why I'm talking about it right now is because it's the beginning of the year and it's a foundation that we have to get if we are going to be essential in an environment that needs some Christian essential people that are needed, and we are needed. Five reasons, real quick, why the Sabbath is essential today. There are many more. I'm just talking about the five that God laid on my heart. And here are the reasons, some things that Sabbath accomplishes in the lives of individuals and a nation. The first one is, the Sabbath elevated the human being. Very important that you get this. People worked every day of their lives. The fourth commandment changed all of that. The day of rest and focus on God, this elevated people above animals because people were beasts of burden, just like animals. I've got to work every day just to survive. See, the Sabbath ended up giving them value and put them in a place that they could relate to God. Because if you remember, when he created in 6 days. On the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. The God who never tires rested? Hold on, I'll get to that. If we're going to see ourselves as essential, then you need to see the importance of being set apart. And you need to not just see it as in being set apart as a Christian, but as a Christian setting yourself apart one day of a week for God. Second thing, it reminds people that they are meant to be free. In Deuteronomy, remember that you were once slaves in the land of Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you. How many here are redeemed? I'm redeemed. I'm so glad I'm redeemed. And I've got to remember that God redeemed me. Here's what you need to know. Slaves could not have a Sabbath. Biblically, unless necessary for survival, ox in a ditch, because that might be another thing I get a letter about. What about that? Yeah, but that's not every week. Come on. That's an excuse that we've went to. People who choose to work 7 days a week are slaves. And you are free. The country has got a threat on its freedom. We're being threatened to go back into slavery. And we're workers. But we haven't honored God with the seventh day. Rich people who work 7 days a week are still rich. They're just rich slaves. Our view on the day of rest that God commanded determines how we live life, how we view people, and what we're going to experience as a nation. That's why I'm talking about it. The Bible says the only thing that we are to be a slave to is love. Number three, the fourth commandment helped to abolish slavery. It wasn't because someone all of a sudden decided, let's just go into civil war. No, they went back to the Bible and said, hey, listen, this isn't right. The fourth commandment humanized people. You don't work this day. Exodus 20:10, on that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons or daughters, your male and female servants. All of a sudden, it gave credibility. See, no one that was a person was to work. Everyone was given that day off to rest. It demanded even a slave was to have fundamental human rights. Slaves didn't have human rights. The children of Israel and the Egyptian masters were demanding them to make bricks. You know the story, they worked all day, every day, and that was all they did. 7 days a week, their whole life was work. 7 days a week, their whole life was work. Before long, you're looking for someone to give you something, to give you some time off. And God said, I've already given it to you. I'll give you enough on the sixth day to cover the seventh. Now honor me. Set this day aside. Keep it holy. 7 days a week, their whole life. See, life was not meant to be lived continually without no rest. In our culture today, we don't have slavery. Well, let me say, we don't have legal slavery. There's slavery going on. But the point today is, we've got to be able to relate that to where we're at. Employee, employers. You're working for someone. People are not just a means for an employer to reach a goal. People are valuable. Now, the fourth commandment, you need to understand, abolished slavery. Number four, the Sabbath strengthens family ties and friendships. I am seeing it at an all-time high right now, friendships being split apart. even in the church, because we're posting something that says this, and then someone says, yeah, but what about this? What about this? What about this? And you've missed this. And I'm seeing people arguing on social media. Maybe some days of darkness would be good. Pastor, I can't believe you said that. I'm just looking for some light. Who's going to be the light? Sabbath will strengthen family ties. See, we take off a day from work every week. For us, it becomes a day that we spend with family, with friends, and we guard that. It's a good day for a nap. I'm usually looking for a nap on Sunday afternoons. The Sundays that you have said is going to be my Sabbath have developed some deep roots into our lives by allowing us time to invest in each other. And a day of honoring the Sabbath is imperative. Taking a day to remain holy because he said it is holy. It is set apart for a specific purpose. It strengthens marriages. Come on, you got a marriage trouble? Ask how you're doing on your Sabbath. What are you doing with your Sabbath? It puts right thinking into your children. You want your kids to be blessed? Teach them the principle of the Sabbath. Well, I've tried to teach them the principle of church. The principle of the Sabbath. The Sabbath told the whole world. Here's the fifth point. The Sabbath told the whole world that there is a God. And you can know that that can be used for a witnessing point. When you tell a boss, when you take a job, that I need Sundays off because it's my day of rest. You know what that does? It puts all eyes on you. Well, I don't want all eyes on me. Why? You are the hands and feet of Christ in this world that's went dark. All eyes are on. What are you going to do that day then? I can tell you for years, Michelle and I get up on Sunday and we go to church. And we get up on Sunday and go to church. I played golf with a neighbor in a house we used to live in. And I called him to go golfing on a Monday or Tuesday after a Sunday. And while we were out, he goes, hey, I just have a quick question for you. What'd you do Sunday? So what are you talking about? I noticed you didn't get up and leave and go to church. Isn't that what you normally do? Yeah, but we had a child sick. My wife wasn't feeling well, and I felt like I needed to stay home. And so we stayed home to get well. He goes, oh, wow. Well, you know what? I walked away from that. He's been watching me every week. You've got people watching you. You don't even realize. Do they see you taking a day of rest, or do they see you a 7-day-a-week violator? Huh. What do you do that day? When you say to anyone, I can't do that because I'm honoring the Lord that day, they've got something they've got to do. They've got to discount you, or they've got to be attracted to you. But they're never going to have that attraction without the blessing of the seventh day in your life. It tells them that there's a God and that you're bringing focus and attention to him. It's bigger than their agenda. Exodus 31, verse 15. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day. A Sabbath day of complete rest. A holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be, let me just tell you what it says in Exodus 31, 15. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. God obviously took this pretty serious. Wow. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is a covenant obligation for all time. Say all time. This is a covenant, and it's for generation after generation for all time. This hasn't changed. This is for all time. It's a permanent sign in verse 17 of chapter 31 of Exodus. It's a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. Well, I'm not a person of Israel. Yes, you are. You're adopted in. You're adopted in. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed. Some versions say rested. I've always had a little problem with this verse. As I looked at this verse, I thought, okay, God is a God who never tires. How could God rest? Why would he need rest? Well, I didn't understand what the word was in Hebrew. The God who never tires, the Hebrew word for never tire, or that needs refresh, the Hebrew word means that on the seventh day he breathed in. Wow. He'd been breathing out 6 days, and the seventh day he breathed in. Does anybody have an eye watch? A few of you? Oh, go figure. My watch just came on and said, breathe. Okay. God's people would just take a day to breathe. We're right now sitting here going, what are we going to do? The world's falling apart around us. You got to see yourself as essential. If you don't honor the Ten Commandments that was to impact a nation, how are you going to expect our nation to be impacted? I think you got most of the others. I really do. But God breathed in. So why am I okay with church being a part of your day of Sabbath? Here's why. You can breathe in. See, you can breathe in what you need to breathe in so you can function the other 6 days. And we're trying to figure out how to empower Christians to stand up and do the right thing, and we're missing the fourth commandment. Every day, you're giving what you have to give, but if you don't breathe in, you're not giving what's needed. This command even required that animals were given a day of rest. See, not only the people, but their animals needed some rest. Think on this. People who were willing to give their animals a day of rest were more likely to treat their animals better. You hear me making fun of animals most of the time, so would you mark this one down as the pastor did a little... Proverbs 12:10, the godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. You know, the interesting thing about this commandment is that it's for everybody. You didn't have to be a Jew, you didn't have to be a Christian to gain the benefits of coming home and keeping the Sabbath. See, all the Ten Commandments work for a benefit if you'll do them. We don't keep the commandments to be saved, you need to know that. We keep them to be blessed. We keep them to have a nation that honors God. We keep the Sabbath alive on Sunday because we believe in God and what He set forward for us to operate under. The God factor is very important, even though you don't have to keep the God factor in there to know when you don't murder, you'll probably be blessed by not. Just a thought there. You don't have to believe in God to receive some of the blessings, but it's huge if you'll get it. The consequences to adultery, everybody gets. The consequences to murder, everybody gets. To stealing, the consequences for not keeping the Sabbath, I don't think we recognize. Except for right now, if you will open your eyes, you can see what's going on in our nation. And I am seeing a consequence of God's people missing this one commandment. A lot of pastors' Sabbath is on a Saturday or a Monday, and I understand that because of what they give out on Sunday. One great pastor who I listened to a lot was asked by his staff, Pastor, I know that Monday is the day that you honor the Sabbath. I know that it is, but would you mind to do this on Monday? The pastor came back and said, well, why don't you just ask me to commit adultery on that day? Or while I'm at it, I'll just stop by the local convenience store, rob them, and knock off a couple people while I'm there. Staff member said, I think I got it. That's my prayer when we leave today. If you come to church and don't get something, then we're not getting equipped to go out and be essential. And I felt it was important today for our church to hear this. Faith in God brings people to observe the Sabbath. If we're going to have faith in God for right now where we're at, we've got to observe the Sabbath so that we are bringing people to a faith in God. Did you hear that? Faith in God will bring people to observe the Sabbath, but we as God's people observing the Sabbath should be bringing people to a faith in God. Lots of stories where people went to church on a Sunday and honored the Sabbath. See, those two can go together. But I know that they don't go together per se scripturally. I just think that it's a great day for you to breathe in church. So with that, you being in church and breathing in, what I can tell you is there's been people that have met each other in God's house. There's been families that have changed, a new realm of friendships. People who honor the Sabbath, their life gets better. Mentally, emotionally, and physically. They have a better home life. There's just so many things that are just factual. We are identifying things this year that are essential. Many things that are not essential, I get that. But essential things to our nation need to be looked at. And I felt right here at the beginning of the year, as we're setting up essential. The Sabbath for me has been essential for a long time, but I've got to be reminded of it, and our church needs to be reminded of it. And I don't know that I've ever specifically said what I've said today about this. We, Michelle and I and our family, we went to church on the Sabbath, and it was never an option for me. Do you realize that murdering someone has never been an option for me? I think that you would agree with that. Stealing from someone has not been an option for me. Hopefully it hasn't for you. If you get to the point where the Sabbath is never an option for you, things change. If we'd start making church attendance a priority on the Sabbath, we breathe in some things that would impact our life in a way that we've never even seen before. I've seen it many times, and I've heard it from pastor friends. Alvin and I were talking about it this morning and last night. People asking about so-and-so. When I go to Hot Springs, where's so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? What happened? They quit setting aside a day to breathe in, and their family got turned upside down. What are you breathing in? Church is a great opportunity for a Sabbath day of breathing. I watch lives fall apart when church becomes less and less priority because the Sabbath became less and less priority. I've just watched it. It's when people are committed that you see joy and peace in their lives and they're not living victim-minded and mad at the church or mad at the way so-and-so did this. Not attacking Christians and making everyone else the enemy is what happens when people keep the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath is a big deal. I've observed it, I've seen it, but I've also watched people get frustrated. When they quit observing the Sabbath, they get offended, they lose their interest, other things become more important, or they get too lazy to put forth the effort to stay committed. And life starts coming undone for them. I tell young married couples, make church a priority so that you don't lose the principle of the Sabbath. This day is going to be set apart. Church, you might be sitting there going, that sermon is not what was needed today. Then you didn't hear anything I said. Our nation is in need of a turnaround. And when the first 10 essential commands that were given for a nation are not observed by the people who said, I'm going to honor God, how can we expect a nation to turn around? I'm in hope right now. Here's why. Because I believe that there are Christian people that are going to rise up and start being essential because they see the Word of God as essential in their life. And then we start seeing it impact our work areas. Then we see it impact our cities. And then I'll never quit this message, and I'll be preaching it as long as I live. We are the answer the world needs. Why are we the answer? Because we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the church in a society and a culture that needs definition. And we've got to offer a counterculture because right now their culture is failing. But the church is going to rise. The church is going to rise. Yeah, I'm just telling you. It's very clear in Scripture. The things that were outlined in Scripture cannot overcome the church. The gates of hell will not overcome. They're not going to prevail. I'm watching them right now have some punch into the government, but I'm not going to see them touch the church. How will that happen? By us being essential. And then by us being what we need to be, as the church starts rising, you'll watch a government turn. Amen. You're essential. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.